friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula Gordon. The Judeo-Christian tradition affects practically everything those of us in the West know and think and do. Our guest is James P. Carse, a religious scholar and writer. He believes each of us has ideas about Jesus of Nazareth that shape our thinking in profound and subtle ways, whether we believe in the religious part of our tradition or not. Given the importance of Jesus, Jim Carse thinks we all should follow the ancient practice of the early Jesus movement and write a gospel. He did.
It was a way of getting deeper into everything I have ever thought or believed, and was full of surprise. What I tried to do is let my own history and my own experience, my own long intellectual training, have its voice without my getting in the way of it.
James Carse is also a celebrated professor who for many years taught the history and literature of religion at New York University. Bill Russell and I think Jim Carse may be one of the great philosophers of our time. He is a modest man who has used rigorous scholarship to come up with some powerful ideas based in his life's joys and sorrows. His latest book is The Gospel of the Beloved Disciple, in which the disciple is a woman. We were first attracted to Jim Carse's vision of life as play and possibility, set out in his book, Finite and Infinite Games. We went to New York to talk with Jim Carse. James Carse, we have talked with a lot of people who are exploring the future from their own perspective, and time again, they tell us how much fun they're having. And then I say, well, there's this guy, Jim Carse, who's in New York, and he talks about finite and infinite games. Would you please do it in your words instead of mine? What is this idea you have?
Well, I was watching my children play, really now many years ago, when they were still quite young, and I noticed that any time they played a board game or a game with fixed rules, where they played against each other for to win the game, to win a prize or some kind of title, no matter who won, everyone was unhappy.
Unhappy?
Unhappy. You know, they fought with each other over... They were just miserable after the game was over. And
that's both the winners and the losers.
That's right, both the winners and the losers. I thought that was really quite curious.
Indeed.
Especially when I compared it to the opposite way of playing, which I only slowly came to recognize. And that was where they would make up the rules as they go along, where any number of people would come, little children would come over to play with them. They'd be back in their bedroom or anywhere else in the apartment, and you wouldn't hear much out of them, and you'd go back and check on them and find that they'd made up this game that was so imaginative, unlike anything they'd ever played before, with rules that were very easy to change. Everyone was happy, no winners, no losers, and they could be in this kind of ecstatic, unbroken mood for the whole day. And I thought, you know, this is really remarkable. There's a lesson in this. And I decided to after all, I'm an academic, and
but we don't hold it against
okay,
you.
Okay,
all right. It's okay.
Well, that's right. Plenty of people do. I'm glad to meet someone who doesn't. But of course, immediately I had to make some kind of an intellectual construct of it. And I began to make a distinction between what I called finite games, that is a game you play to win, and infinite games, that's a game you play to keep playing.
To keep playing.
Yeah, so
now, we don't know much about that in Western culture. We're pretty big on winning and losing, aren't we?
Right. In fact, it's after you get out of childhood, it's hard to find very good examples of it. I'll give you another example just to give you an idea of the way an infinite game is played. When I was a kid, again, this is a child-type example. I think I've had some adult experiences like this, though, I have to say. I lived in Chicago for a period of my youth, and during the Second World War, across the street, you don't find this anymore in Chicago, was a large vacant lot,
mm-hmm.
and there were hundreds of kids living in this neighborhood, and the lot was a kind of an informal softball field. So every day, at some indeterminate time in the morning. No one ever decided when it was going to begin. Someone would show up with a bat and a ball. Other people would come along presently. There'd be some kind of softball game going all day long. It never stopped. Even girls played.
Even girls?
You know, this is,
wow.
We're talking quite a while ago, but even girls.
This was more than 5 years ago.
Even more amazing, sometimes parents, too.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's ecumenical.
I realized later on when I was thinking about the distinction between finite and infinite games that was a very ordinary but an extraordinary example of the way we could play with each other. So I began to expand the idea, thinking, well, maybe this has application to wide ranges of human experience. For example, marriage. Take that one.
Usually quite a finite game where somebody wins and somebody loses.
That's right. And a lot of people live in their married relationships as winners or losers.
So take us to the place that you can see that is an infinite game.
Well, when two people come together realizing that the goal is to stay creatively engaged with each other in such a way that they are committed to changing a lot of basic ways they live with each other. They're open with each other. They don't have a clear end, a goal to which they're moving, and are in constant conversation. It's very important in an infinite game that everyone understands that the rules are malleable and also what the rules are.
Malleable being that they are changing all the time.
Yeah, that's right. They're changing, right. So in a finite game, you play within the rules. In an infinite game, you play with the rules.
We're going to come back in a minute with James Carson and talk about how that applies to the rest of the universe, which I think is where we're headed.
Oh,
I am Paula Gordon. Bill Russell is here with me. We're in Greenwich Village in New York City, one of my favorite places, and we're with James Carson. We'll be here in just a moment. Please do stay with us.